in human life. I'm Eileen Dillon, your creator and host, and during this live broadcast, we invite you to interact with us on our chat here on the EmotionalPro.com radio page, or you can call us on our toll-free number, 800-630-7858. My own life has been full of challenges to overcome. I lost my birth mother at the age of 3, moved from pillar to post throughout my childhood and adolescence as my family kept up with my career military father, married early, worked my way through 6 years of college, went through 2 divorces, and raised my birth children mostly on my own. So when I hear about people who have something to say about overcoming challenges, I think I know a thing or two myself. Today's guest drew some amazing stories together, 38 people who endured that no end in sight type of trauma, tragedy, and pain, and yet later realized that in overcoming those very events, they were molded into the person they are today, into something better in most cases, something they never would have envisioned before that challenge. She compiled the stories of these 38 people into a book, Overcomers, Inc., which is now available to instruct, comfort, and inspire you in your darkest moments. The compiler and publisher of Overcomers, Inc., Lynn Klippel, is here with us today on Full Power Living. She's an author, coach, and publisher. She helps entrepreneurs write books to build their business and share their knowledge, and you can find her at loveyourlifepublishing.com. And you can also get a free copy of her audio, Write Your Book the Right Way, when you go there. When 4 people close to her, including her brother, were battling cancer, Lynn wished she had a book that would be inspirational and that she could give to these people as they work to overcome their illness. In short order, Lynn Klippel discovered 38 people with extraordinary stories of personal heroism who stood up to life's greatest challenges with courage and faith and transformed their lives. And we have her with us today. So, Lynn Klippel, welcome to Full Power Living.
Oh, thank you, Eileen, for that beautiful introduction. It sounds like you have quite an overcomer story yourself.
I was wondering the whole time I was reading the book why you hadn't contacted me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, but I totally agree with the authors of your book that looking back now, I would not have traded a single one of those things because of all that I learned and all the ways that they have enriched my life. I think sometimes I wish that the lessons could have come in an easier form. But I long ago had a therapist who said, I don't believe people do any more than they have to in order to grow.
Boy, that's a great quote. And it's so true. It would be so nice if we could just read a postcard and all our life lessons would be on it, but it doesn't seem to work that way.
Well, we don't get saved from them because I think of the learning. So, you know, tell us a little bit more about the story of how you got into doing Overcomers Incorporated.
Well, you know, It was a tough time for me this past spring. My mom, my dad, my younger brother, and 2 of my really good friends all had cancer at the same time. And it was so hard to not really go into fear and feeling like, well, when is it my turn? And, you know, how am I going to cope and take care of all these people? And I was thinking, you know, all the books that I've written, my brother would not read any of them because they're all girl books. I need a book that I could send him that would be really, really uplifting, easy to read, and he could read it during chemo. I wish somebody would redo Chicken Soup for the Soul and kind of update it a little bit. And just like that, I thought, well, I should do that. I know people. I can put this together. And it was such a, I guess, a divine inspiration that it came together in such a surprisingly quick way that all of a sudden, by the summertime, 38 people or 37 people and myself all came together pretty quickly, and we've got a very diverse group of stories and a diverse group of authors. So it makes the book a fun read.
It really is fascinating to read all the different things that people have gone through. So your brother, several people in your family, and then the economic conditions and so forth were going on. And so you actually were aware that a lot of people were going through really, really tough times. But did you feel yourself to be uniquely qualified to pull this project together because of that or for some other reason?
That's a really good question, Eileen. I don't think I felt uniquely qualified as much as guided. I think that when you get an inspiration, it's your opportunity to listen to it and follow that urging, whether you feel qualified or not. So I just said, okay, let me try it.
Now, that's a really important, really interesting point, because as I read Overcomers, one of the things that seemed to pop up over and over again was that people had had inspiration or intuitive thoughts or whatever, and they didn't follow them, and therefore they got into deeper trouble through their challenge. So that was a really interesting point that I kept seeing over and over again. Can you say something about that?
Oh, yes. I think that if all of us look back on our lives, we see times when red flags were waving and we decided to ignore them and go forward, or we see little ideas that we didn't act on and then somebody else did it and it was a smashing success. So I've learned the hard way to listen to intuition and listen to those little nudges and just go with what comes to me.
It's really, really important. It took me quite a while to listen. Strange to say, initially it was kind of scary thinking mm-hmm. that it was like, I guess it has to do if you're trying to be controlling, which I certainly was in those days. Then you think, well, how could information come to me outside of me having put it there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So tell us a little bit about you mentioned there are a lot of different problems or challenges that people faced. And I've read the book and I know, but I'd like to hear from you some of the different types of challenges that you present in Overcomers.
Well, you know, there's a combination of kind of regular problems like relationships failing, or one woman had a really difficult weight loss challenge and ended up losing 100 pounds, health crises. Those are, financial ruin. Those are things that all of us can relate to. Then there's some other stories that are really kind of off the charts, spouses dropping dead on skiing trips on the day before Christmas, or a crippling medical mistake. One woman's brother was falsely accused of murdering his wife and convicted. One woman had to leave her children during a time of political upheaval in the Philippines. Those are the kind of like way out there stories that probably will never happen to most of us, but the lessons they learned in those extreme times of challenge were even more inspirational than some of the problems that are a little bit more of the ordinary type.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things that I have observed about myself going through challenges is that the more severe the challenge, the more I can't escape it. I have to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think
that's really true.
Yeah. Yeah, I used to wonder why I just had one challenge after the next, and I will talk about this perhaps a little later, but I finally found that it was because of my own strength and stubbornness, that if I had been able to listen to the messages that were coming to me and do something about them previously, prior to that, then I wouldn't have to have what I called walls of bricks fall on my head.
Mm-hmm. I kind of think life is like school, and we have lessons that we have to learn, and if we don't learn them the first time around, that situation will just repeat and repeat and get our attention one way or another until we finally deal with it.
You are in home territory here. As a psychotherapist, I teach people that the earth is a big giant school, that we all come here in order to grow, and that we get our homework assignments in our childhoods and work on those for the rest of our lives. If you learn the lesson of the homework, then you graduate and you can move on to other things. But if you don't, it repeats and repeats and repeats, and each repetition is a harsher lesson. So,
yeah, I think you are exactly right.
Oh, great. Oh, great. Well, I'm glad we're in agreement on that. So I realized that the story of almost every person in Overcomers, Inc. followed a similar storyline. It went like this. There was a life trauma or experience that threw them into a tailspin. There was a period of tremendous disorganization, depression, being lost, feeling lost, and grieving. Then there was a turning point experience or decision. And fourthly, there was recovery. And interestingly enough, most often that recovery included a reconnection or a connection with that which is bigger, which most people referred to as God. So, for example, Martha Lee Bone fell in love with her charming and funny man, moved across the country to be with him, and then he died of a massive heart attack on their wedding night. And that certainly threw her into a tailspin, but the move had taken her to the territory of where Hurricane Katrina passed through, and through being there, she found a calling to help others, and that she interestingly called that her homework assignment from God. So, is this a similar process to what you observed, and do you have any comments on it?
Well, you know, Eileen, I think that's true for almost everybody that goes through a difficult challenge and overcomes it, that there's the bad thing, there's the time when you absolutely become at the bottom of your experience and you decide you're going to change it for one way or another, either because you have no other choice or you're just absolutely sick of it and you're not going to take it anymore. And then you start to change, you learn some lessons, and you emerge stronger and wiser. So you are exactly astute in figuring out that pattern that we used in the book is very similar to what all of us go through as we're learning our lessons in life school.
Mm-hmm. Well, since I've worked with it for nearly 40 years, it was easy for me to spot, I have to say. But it was very interesting to see how each person's story really fell into that pattern and how that is the process that all of us go through. And I suppose that's part of why this book can be so helpful to people who read it. Is that your thought?
It is. I think that if we can be inspired by other people's stories, it adds a little bit of positive light into our day, and it also makes us think, well, you know, my situation isn't as bad as this one or that one. They got through it. Let me see how I can hang on for one more day. So it's very empowering, I think, to know the stories of people who have gone through extremely difficult things as a way to inspire ourselves.
So a sequel to this book would be great in the sense that one of the things I'm aware of as we're talking, Lynn, is that I'm now 67 years old, and as I learned over the years that this is a big school and whatever comes up is something to learn from, and if I turn and learn the lesson the first time I see it, it doesn't come back and hit me over the head so hard, and then I have to pick myself up. So what has happened essentially is that I have been encountering fewer and fewer challenges, not that I could stop somebody else from dying and so on, as happens with many of the authors in this book, but I have fewer and fewer challenges, and as I encounter them, they're actually easier and easier to grow through. Mm-hmm. Now you've talked with all these authors. Do you find that to be true with them too, or are they still having challenges, big challenges?
Very much true, as you said it. I think that once you get through a very, very difficult situation, whatever that is for you, you get some muscles of resilience, and then nothing in your life is going to be as bad as that really bad thing. You get some experience in dealing with a very difficult challenge, and then you know you can do it. For example, 15 years ago, I was in a very abusive marriage, and I finally, after way too long, ran away from the man, left my job, left my house, went into hiding, he was going to kill me, blah, 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 whole bad thing. Nothing in my life since then has been that terrible, and I've had some other challengers, but I know that, you know what, I sold plasma to feed my kids back 15 years ago. I could do it again if I had to. I could start completely over. So I think that the overcomers and anybody that suffered a very difficult period in their life, they have a benchmark for how strong they really are and know that, yep, I can handle something else if it happens. It'll be hard, but I can handle it.
Well, and also one of the things I've observed is that we have gone through unknown territory, and usually we're scared. And I want to talk about that when we come back from our break. We human beings get frightened if there's something we don't know about. We certainly don't want to voluntarily jump into it. In fact, over the years, I've told people that I work with that people don't usually change until the pain of where they are is so great that they feel like they wouldn't have anything to lose to take the leap of faith to go to the new place. And these stories illustrate that when people got in big pain, they jumped.
Yep. I always call that the power of disgust. You know, you're going to reach a day where like, okay, this is enough. I cannot do this anymore. Mm-hmm. And then you decide to change.
That's a great term. I love that. So it's time for us to take a break. And when we come back, I want to talk some about fear. And I'd also like to talk with you about the notion that I encountered in Overcomers, Inc. of standing in our own way. So you're listening to Full Power Living. We're talking today with Lynn Klipple, author of Overcomers, Inc. And we will be right back.
Listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
How difficult is it for you to ask directly for what you really want? To take responsibility graciously and willingly for your mistakes? Or to relate with others because it's fun instead of because you need something from them? Most people believe manipulation and codependence are normal behaviors for adults. They may be common, but they're not normal. Manipulative behaviors really are designed to be part of childhood, to be put away as things of the past when we become adults. So, if you're ready to let manipulation and codependence be part of your past, then get the mini course I've created for you, Ending Codependence, The Bottom Line. I'm Eileen Dillon, the Emotional Pro, offering you a formula that you can follow for creating healthy, manipulation-free, and lasting intimate relationships. I also give you the tools and principles that you can use to develop lasting immunity to codependence. Get Ending Codependence today at www.emotionalpro.com. That's emotionalpro.com. All right, we're back on Full Power Living. We're talking today with Lynn Klipple, who's the author of several books. The one we're talking with her about today is Overcomers, INC, Overcomers Incorporated or Inc. And be sure to check out all that she has to offer at www.loveyourlifepublishing.com. That's loveyourlifepublishing.com. So, Lynn, can our listeners find a copy of Overcomers there that they can purchase, and where else can they find it?
Best way to find a copy of that book is to go to www.overcomersinc.com. If you go to that website, you can see pictures of all the authors, read their biographies, read a few sample chapters. It's also on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. Your local bookstore can get it for you. So it's pretty easy to get.
Great, great. And that's a very interesting sight to, you know, to see the people and know their stories is really fascinating. So now I want to talk a little bit about Love Your Life Publishing here for a minute, because you advertise yourself as a conscious publisher, and you say you specialize in providing coaching and direct services to help authors self-publish a high-quality book successfully and quickly. And I am impressed that you went through a tough time last spring, and you've got a book on the market now. And so I'm kind of curious about your business and also how you went about finding the 37 other authors in your book.
Sure. Well, I'll talk about how I found the other authors first, and then maybe if you want to ask me more specifically what you'd like to know about the business, I'd be glad to talk about it. As far as finding the authors, I knew that the power of the internet would really help me. So I put out a call to people on my mailing list and people that I knew had some really good stories. And then I also had a couple of friends who also had a lot of people in their database that were also quite inspirational. A lot of folks who are in coaching, healing work, social work have wonderful personal stories. So the people just kind of came to me through those avenues.
You know, I was, being a social worker myself, I was once told that people who are here as helpers on the earth didn't come really in order to help other people. They came to help themselves, and it's just a good fortune that others get helped. So it's no wonder to me that so many of us have issues or challenges, because we came here with a lot to learn, and it's really wonderful that you've given this venue. In terms of the publishing business, it seems to me, as a professional speaker and in my daily life, I hear people saying, oh, I have a book in me. I have a story in me. And yet they don't always get their story written and published. And so that's something you help people to do. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's exactly right, Eileen. There are so many stories, especially professional speakers. You've probably got 17 stories that could be in a book or parts of books. But the hard thing about writing a book is the first time you decide to do it and you sit down at your computer, looking at the keys and that blank screen, you think, okay, how the heck do I do this? So we teach a really structured ABC, 1, 2, 3, here's how the process of writing a book works. Here's what you need to learn before you start writing. Here's what you need to research. Here's how you figure out what book to write first, because many times people have 3 or 4 book ideas and they don't know where to start or which one to begin with. So we really teach the how piece.
You tell people where to start and how to go through the process so that they can choose where to dig in. And I really related to what you said there, because I have probably 4 books in process, even though I have 19 things that I've published. I still have 4 books waiting and outlines for many more beyond that.
Yeah, so it's hard to know which one to do first, but there's kind of a strategy in picking what your first book should be. I'd be glad to share some of that with you. If
please.
You're going to use your book to really position yourself as a speaker or a business owner or as a coach or consultant, your first book should really showcase the thing that you are the best at, your very best piece of wisdom that you bring to the marketplace. Your first book should be about that, to establish your credibility in that marketplace. And then after that, you can write the memoir or the other books that are your secondary topics.
Well, you must run into people like me frequently who say, but I'm best at lots of things.
Mm-hmm.
And so you help people figure out which is the best.
Yeah, and which is the best for your business.
Great. Thank you for telling us about that. So one of the things that I mentioned before the break was about how many people in Overcomers, Inc. report that they were standing in their own way in some way. For example, they were fearful, as we talked about, or they were following what they thought was expected in family or society, or they were concerned about failure or judgment. What did you learn or glean from all these authors about how we stand in our way and what we need to do to stop standing in our way?
Oh, one of the best stories to illustrate that point, Eileen, is Joshua's story. Joshua was this good-looking, dynamic, successful businessman. He had a multi-million dollar business. He had a great business partner. He had the beautiful wife. He had the beautiful home. He had the fancy cars, the great lifestyle. He lost every single part of it. and had to move in with his mom in his 30s. Not that there's anything wrong with living with your mom, but after being at the height where he was, to have lost everything was devastating. And what he finally realized was his own greed drove all of that away. So everybody has that moment of truth where they realize that their behavior is somehow contributing to the mess that they're in. And that's a painful lesson, but a really powerful one. Because once he figured out it was him that was making all these things happen, he could start taking some steps to change himself and rebuild his life.
Well, even with people who had things happen to, say, their spouse or somebody that they loved that impacted them, they still, many of them reported that they stood in their own way because they were afraid to try new things, or because they had failed before, or they were shy, they didn't want to be criticized. And so let me look a little bit at fear. What role do you see fear playing in these stories?
Oh, everybody was afraid. You know, whenever you're in the midst of a traumatic situation, it's really, really devastatingly fearful. You know, it keeps you up at night. You're worrying about what might happen, what did happen. Fear is paralyzing. And for a lot of folks, that fear will be alleviated once they hit bottom and get disgusted and say, I don't care if I'm afraid, I'm still going to try this thing. But it almost takes hitting a very, very dark time before your desire to overcome and to get out of that situation becomes stronger than your fear.
That's a really good point. I went through a process similar to this. I married at 19 and stayed in my marriage for 8 years before I became pregnant with my first child, only to have her born and my husband come to me and say, you know what, even though I consciously conceived this child, I'm not ready to be a father. And he left. And she was 10 months old when he left us. And I had never even had my own room to myself, much less a home, a child to take care of, a career to start, and so forth. And so that was the really big thing that I faced. And I had the good fortune of being in therapy with a woman who took me through what she called the identity crisis process. And that, to me, is what each one of these people went through. And the identity crisis process is a three-stage process. I happen to have a paper written on it that's on my website, too, that goes through the fact that first everything falls apart. And it has to fall apart because you need to, it's sort of like the phoenix. You have to burn up before you can bring the new out. And it's characterized like many of the stories are, that there's no end in sight. You feel alone. You feel hopeless. You feel like this is an endless process that there's no way you're ever going to get out of. And yet, like you say, once you allow yourself to hit bottom or are forced to hit bottom, then you've got nowhere to go but up. And what people do then is they reconstruct, as you so wonderfully put or show in Overcomers, Inc., they reconstruct their lives based on new things.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a great way to put that up. It's brilliant. That could be in one of your books.
Thank you. Thank you. Oh, I've got it written out.
There you go.
your Overcomers, Inc. really shows that. It really shows how people just fall apart. They can't think straight. Many people can reach out to others or have people reach out to them, and that seems to be a saving grace, too.
Yes, many, many, many of the authors went into therapy or intensive spiritual work or worked with a loved one or a coach or some sort of religious figure to help them in their darkest hour. I can't think of anybody in this book that was able to get through their spiritual crisis or their financial crisis or health crisis completely alone. Everyone had to reach out for help.
Yes, yes. That is really great. And the other thing tied in with what you just said, it seems, and with the issue of control I brought up before, it seems that many people like had their home, their lives in sort of apple pie order, or they had the person that they wanted and that didn't work out. And so they moved from, oh, everything is in my control or control that I understand, to realizing that there's a bigger plan and that you can't call all the shots.
Mm-hmm. That is very true. That theme really came in that, you know, oh, I think of the first story in the book about Mary, who was going to be an astronaut, and she got accepted in one of the first classes in West Point. Great student, great athlete, doing good. Everything was so perfectly aligned for her to reach that goal of becoming an astronaut. When she hurt her knee, she had some surgery. The doctor made a terrible mistake that almost killed her, used the wrong kind of medication. She spent the next 25 years in a wheelchair. Her health was completely destroyed. She had to have multiple surgeries. It was just a never-ending drama. And she wanted to just walk again, let alone, you know, the whole astronaut thing was off the table. But one of her mentors, who happened to be an astronaut, challenged her to set this gigantic goal. And she was laying in a hospital room in Colorado, so she looks out her window and she can see Pikes Peak. And she said, okay, my goal is to run up Pikes Peak. And she actually did it. It took her 25 years, but she learned how to walk again, she learned how to run again, and she made it up that mountain.
Wow. Yeah, I remember that story. That is so, just still gives me chills just to have you talk about it here. And that's a really important point, too. All the authors, including you, reveal some very personal stories in the book. And I tend to do that in my writing. What about people who are listening to the show, Lynn, who might want to share their personal stories? Can you consider the issue of telling your personal story publicly a bit?
Oh, yes. There's a very key distinction in when you're using a personal story. First of all, you should be past the event enough that you've healed from it and you've been able to learn lessons from it. So you have to check your intention for sharing the story. Let's say you're going through a painful divorce and you decide to write a book about it, and you're kind of hidden intention is to get back at your ex-husband and his mother and a sister. And, you know, that's a mean story and it could get you sued. So can't do that. Mm-hmm. However, sharing your personal story like a parable or a teaching tool, that's the way to do it, to have it be effective. So you're just not venting and spilling all your emotions out on the page. You're telling a targeted illustration from your life so that it can teach someone else.
But it's not that you can't share your emotions, it's that you need to have them healed enough inside of yourself that you don't dump them out on your audience. Is that correct?
That's exactly correct. So some time has to go by. I have to tell you, it was really hard for me to write my chapter about my first marriage, and 15 years has gone by. And I've had tons of therapy, everything's fine, it's well, but just telling that story on paper did bring up some old issues that I had to do some work on. So it sounds like it might be easy because we can talk about our stories very easily, but when you're actually sitting down and putting them on paper, it brings up a few places that still might need some healing.
Well, there are probably always places where you can do some healing. You know, I came out of my birth family very angry, and I worked for years and years and years. That's how I moved into the position of calling myself the emotional pro now, because I learned so much about emotions. And there came a time after I'd worked on my emotions, maybe about 25 years, that I got very frustrated because it seemed like all I had to do was just think about what had happened in my childhood, and I was angry all over again. So I sought the advice of a very dear and wise friend of mine, and she said, as long as you think of yourself as a victim, you will continue to be angry. When you can accept this notion that there was something there for you to learn, and even move yourself in the position of being grateful for what you learned and experienced, then you'll stop being angry. And she was totally correct. And
yeah.
It sounds a lot of the authors in Overcomers, Inc. have moved there also. Well,
they
all
have.
Of them.
You know, I had to decline a couple of chapters from people that wanted to be in the book because they were still in their process of having a lot of anger and grief and hadn't reached the point where they could really see what blessings came from the tough situation. They had good stories, but they just weren't quite ready to share them yet.
So then for our listeners, any of you who have stories, you might want to contact Lynn at loveyourlifepublishing.com. But before you do, make sure that you're mostly finished. Obviously, Lynn, your illustration gives us permission. We don't have to be totally finished, but mostly finished with your traumatic incident, and maybe you'll be ready to share your story. You're listening to Full Power Living, and I'm your host, Eileen Dillon. We're talking with Lynn Klippel, who's written a book called Overcomers, Inc. We'd like you to stay tuned for more following this break.
Listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
Everybody feels anger, but if you don't learn to deal with it, anger can mess up your life. It can cause you relationship problems, difficulties on the job, or create health problems. If you want a way to understand and work with anger that's simple yet so powerful it helps you to put an end to the specific angers that are messing up your life, then you'll want to get a copy of a mini course I've created for you entitled Reduce Anger Now. With it, I want you to be able to figure out what's stimulating the anger you feel and have an easy way to change that anger so you can dramatically reduce the anger in your life. I'm Eileen Dillon, the Emotional Pro, longtime psychotherapist, coach, and anger expert. I've helped thousands of people to master anger, and I want you to begin to become an anger master in your life. Order Reduce Anger Now at the store, www.emotionalpro.com. That's www.emotionalpro.com. So welcome back to Full Power Living, and I have a few announcements I want to make before we get back to our wonderful guest today. We're getting really popular with authors and thinkers who want to reach a thinking and caring audience like you with the opportunity to go more deeply into their topic than the usual media sound bites. And that means we're booked into early May with an incredible list of guests. So I'm really glad you're with us, and I encourage you to tell your friends and family and ask them to listen too. Next week, I'm conversing with Michael Brown, who's author of The Presence Process, The Radiance of Intimacy, and now Alchemy of the Heart. He'll be talking to us from South Africa, and Michael usually takes us literally into the heart of the matter. After that, we have psychologist Rick Hansen with his new book, Buddha's Brain. Ariane de Bonvoisin, I think I'm saying it right, sharing ways to go through change more productively. We have Carmen Hara presenting 11 Eternal Principles. Christine Arilo telling us why we should choose me before we. And we have Chopra Center Medical Director David Simon, who's going to talk about healing, and actress Marielle Hemingway with information on health and her book Marielle's Kitchen. So write me at Eileen, I-L-E-N-E, at emotionalpro.com, and we'll put you on our notification list because we don't want you to miss any of these incredible shows. And as Chicago Kevin, who is often with us, does, you can download Full Power Living shows to your MP3 player or your computer from iTunes by subscribing under my name, Eileen Dillon. Again, that's I-L-E-N-E. And remember, we've got nearly 300 shows archived here on emotionalpro.com. And Don't forget to go to the WIN online, thewinonline.com, which is the Women's Information Network, to catch the two new shows that I'm doing with life coach Dakey Fox, Taking My Turn and Building Conscious Families. So our guest today is Lynn Klipple, author of Overcomers, Inc., and you can find out more about her at her publishing company, loveyourlifepublishing.com. And also, that was overcomersinc.com, Lynn, is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So, wow, this has just been a really rich discussion here. We have a question. That's what I wanted to do. We have a question from someone on the chat. Do you have any comments about telling the truth when living or writing?
Oh, I love that question. I think, yes, the truth is very important. But again, it kind of goes back to your intention behind the truth. So you have to tell the truth in a way that will resonate with the people reading it and make it serve them. So, for example, if you're telling a story of a wrong that someone did to you, you could go on for page after page and talk about what a hideous person they were and how awful they were, blah, blah, blah. That's serving you to vent your emotions. Instead, if you tell the truth of the situation to serve your reader, you might say, "This event happened," and let them draw their own conclusion about the goodness or badness of the person who was the actor of the bad thing. Does that make sense? It's a very subtle distinction.
Yeah, that's really very interesting. So that kind of ties in with another thing that I was thinking about as I was reading Overcomers, Inc. And I have often told people that on the earth, considering it's a school, in order to get beyond something, you must go through it. And you have a number of stories about, and even some people who point that out, that you have to go through things. You can't sidestep your learning.
Boy, that is very true. There's one story, one of my favorites in the book is written by a woman whose name is Frances Thomas. And Frances Thomas was born in days of racial discrimination in a non-progressive Midwestern town. And when she was born to a very, very poor family, she was African-American and she was legally blind. So she had a lot of strikes against her. And all through her life, lots of rough things happened. She wanted to be a teacher, and she wasn't able to pass a physical test because of her poor eyesight. So she decided she would be a social worker because she really wanted to help people. It was the first person in her family to ever attempt college. And she not only graduated from college, she was accepted at a prestigious university for a master's degree program, and one of her professors said the very first day of class, "I don't care how good you are, how smart you are, how well you do in this class, you will never get an A, because I don't believe in giving people of color an A." He said that out loud, which is shocking. So not only did she learn how to drive at age 40 after many eye surgeries, she graduated summa cum laude from her master's degree program. She's had a long and fruitful career as a social worker. She had two little boys, and her youngest son was born with a heart defect. And the doctors told her, you know, if he lives till 5 or 6, that'll be a miracle. Well, Frances, through grit, determination, and lots of prayers, helped that young man live to be 35 years old. He married, he had children, he had work, and then he died. And it was really difficult for her to let him go. But she also was able to overcome that tragedy in her life. So she told me that at a very young age, she realized she could become angry and bitter and stay a victim all of her life, or she could choose that no matter what happened, she would trust in her God and be optimistic.
And yes, her story was absolutely amazing. You couldn't imagine how many obstacles she had to overcome.
Yeah.
I'd like you to know that somebody on our chat has pointed out that you and I have this morning in airing the show been experiencing only minor challenges, but we're both doing a great demonstration of the principles.
Oh, thank you. That's a very nice comment from a listener.
That's really great. So the deal is that people go through their own traumas. This draws attention to something new or to a particular area, which is where they end up working. And they then turn around and teach others what they've learned. You know, my husband is a neurosurgeon, and he told me one time that kind of the joke in neurosurgery is in doing operations on the brain is that students are taught to watch one, do one, teach one.
Mm-hmm.
So do you find in your publishing work that there are a lot of people who want to write because they've learned something and they want to share what they've learned with other people?
Only 100% of the time.
That's yep. Great. That's how. So that's our motivation.
Yeah.
That's great. So are you, I imagine you must be proud of what you've managed to do here with this book. That it's really a wonderful read.
You know, I'm so proud, not of what I've done, but of what the team did. The team of authors that came together, we also had a really incredible marketing team that helped us have a really big splashy launch, and the book hit bestseller status on 3 categories on Amazon on the first day.
Wow.
And we just had such a team of people praying for this project, working to make it successful, and now helping us spread the word that I just feel very blessed.
Oh, wow. That's really beautiful. So speaking of being very blessed, that seemed to be a theme that I saw illustrated in Overcomers, Inc., and that is that what initially seemed terrible and usually was painful, actually the authors ended up citing as a huge blessing for them.
Yes, that's very true. And many, almost all of them, deeply connected with faith of one sort or another, whether it was a Christian faith or Buddhist practices or meditation or, you know, all kinds of different spiritual paths. Really tapping into their spiritual source was a key ingredient in healing for all the authors.
Well, we've featured a lot of shows on this program that where people are pointing out that we are in a time of great spiritual renaissance, not particularly religious renaissance, but more people determining, finding, connecting with their soul, their own soul, and through that something greater, which people could call Allah or Buddha or God or Jesus or whoever, that this is part of what we're all doing. And certainly your book illustrates that there are an awful lot of people saying, okay, I'm going to come out of this bigger and better because I'm connected to something bigger and better.
Yes, I think that is a wonderful way to put it. It just seems like all these tough things are happening and you can't do it alone. If you have a spiritual sense about you and can do more of whatever lifts you up spiritually, you will feel a sense of strength.
Years ago, I was instructed to meditate on the concept or the word humility. And what I learned for myself is that humility is not about, being humbled in a bad way, but it's about the constant remembrance that there is something larger than me. And I liked the way, although you didn't talk about the concept of humility, you did talk about grace in Overcomers, humility, remembering that there's something bigger than us, we're part of it, and the more we can coordinate with it and work with it, the better our lives will be. I really liked that you put that in there.
Oh, thanks. I think it's because I've laid awake myself in the middle of the night and felt terribly alone. But when I was reminded that I'm part of something bigger than just Lynn, I felt that connection to God and to other people, and that gave me strength to go on. So I hope anybody listening that's going through a tough time right now, just remember that you are not alone.
That is so great. May I tell you a quick little story?
Mm-hmm.
When when my daughter was about three, she kept having nightmares all the time, and I consulted this same wise woman I mentioned earlier, and she said the problem with her is that she's realizing that she's separated from God, and she feels all alone, and she's having these nightmares and waking up in the night because she's terrified about being alone, and you need to remind her that there is always somebody there. And so I taught her about that. And one night I happened to be up late and she had a nightmare and I overheard her in her room. And she was saying, God, I'm just a little girl and I'm here all by myself and I'm scared and I need you to help me not be scared.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And it was so wonderful. And she went back to sleep. She got the comfort that she wanted. Mm-hmm. What was your own greatest learning from compiling Overcomers, Inc.?
I learned that people are incredibly strong, even in their moments of feeling really weak. So whatever you're going through right now, you can and you will get through it.
Wow. What a wonderful, inspiring message. Well, the whole book, Overcomers, Inc., is very inspiring, and I hope anyone who needs, I urge anyone who needs inspiration and comfort and advice on how to go through life challenges will avail themselves of Overcomers, Inc. Lynn, thank you so much for sharing your own story, for bringing all these people together, and for doing the work that you do to bring our entire human population forward through the written word.
Oh, thank you, Eileen. It has just been such a wonderful time to be here with you today, and I applaud you for bringing all these positive messages to the airwaves. You're doing great work.
Thank you. Thank you. I certainly appreciate it. I hope you'll come and join us again.
I'd love that. And I'm going to be listening because some of your guests sound really juicy.
They are. We're hot here. And you're among them. See, you need to remember that too. So be sure to join us every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific time when we continue our tradition on Full Power Living of bringing you the most cutting-edge thinkers and helpers on the planet, addressing the power of emotions in our human lives. Next week, we have a discussion with Michael Brown, author of Alchemy of the Heart. We look forward to having you with us. So thanks to our supportive and patient producers at Fresh Talk Media, Paul Johnston, and until next time, I'm your host, Eileen Dillon, thanking you for listening and reminding you, pay attention to what you want to become, and only for today, to what you want to overcome. Thanks. Bye.
Listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.